Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Yisro. I wanted to start with a story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was traveling, and he had to stop somewhere, and he was hosted by somebody, and the host, you know, set him up and everything. He said, "Do you have a sefer for me to learn for the evening?" And they gave him what they had was a Chidushei HaRashba. So he sat down there, and he learned all night the Chidushei HaRashba with great Cheshek and Yerushamayim, and he learned it with great Shkita and enjoyed it very, very much. He noticed, though, and he told the host, "There's a page missing, but don't worry, I rewrote the page for you, Baal Peh, from my memory, and here it is, and now you can put it in the Sefer." And in the morning, he had to get up and go right away. So he had gotten up and went. And by the time everybody heard that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was in town, everybody came. And the only thing that was left there was the piece of paper with the Chidushei HaRashba written on it. So it's a wonderful story. Rabbi Shimon Sofer, when he heard this story, said, "You know, I am not really Nispala with the memory of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That's something that's really known." Meaning, everybody knew he was a gaon. He had such extraordinary shlita over kol haTorah kula. That doesn't move me too much, or it certainly doesn't surprise me, even though it may move me. But you know what's really amazing is that Rabbi Akiva Eiger knew the Chidushei HaRashba Baal Peh, and still he learned with such cheshek and Yerushamayim. There are a lot of people on planet Earth, once they know something, they lose their excitement and their zeal for it. Not so with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Next story is about the Pnei Menachem of Gur when he began his tenure as Rebbe, and he was visited by the Av Beis Din of Antwerp to give him some chizuk and to give him some encouragement about the challenges of his new position. And the Av Beis Din of Antwerp said to him, "You know, the Rashi from this week's parasha, Yarav lechem machar, it's going to be good for you tomorrow. Shekol haskalos kashos, all beginnings are difficult." In fact, I've heard in instances people say if something isn't hard, then it isn't a haskala. You haven't really undertaken it. Nevertheless, the Rebbe Megur, the Pnei Menachem, responded and said, "I'm not so worried about kol haskalos kashos. I'm okay with that. What I'm more worried about is the Yarav Lechem Machar, is that I want all of my Avodas Hashem to be L'Shem Shamayim. I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, getting too much geschmack out of this and not doing this solely and exclusively for the Ribono Shel Olam." Last story is one about Rav Steinman. And Rav Steinman went to go see a doctor. I forget if it was a ear doctor or an eye doctor. But nevertheless, he went for a checkup, and this checkup happened, and during, you know, the normal procedures that are done during that checkup, Rav Steinman stopped and asked the doctor, "Doctor, are you bored?" The doctor said, "Excuse me, I don't understand." He said, "Are you bored? What do you mean, am I bored?" "Well, I can imagine that this is not the first time nor the last time you've done this routine checkup. You do it over and over again mechanically. It is what it is, day in and day out. You probably do a dozen of these a day. And let me tell you something. That sounds to me like something that can make an individual bored. But let me tell you something. It's not so with respect to B'nai Torah. When I learn a Tosos, whether it's for the first time or the hundredth time, every time I find the sweetness and the excitement in it, every time there is geschmack, there is excitement, there is love. And that's the difference between Torah and everything else." On to the Divrei Torah. I want to share with you first, as some of you know, I have training as an attorney. So when the facts are on your side, argue the facts. I saw this. It came out in the Kisvei of Moshe David Valley, and I feel like it's important to just mention as a simple fact. Yisro was old, and he completely changed his life. There are sometimes people say it's very, very hard to change your life, to change something about yourself, the older and older that you get. In fact, the mimer in Pirkei Avos of Rav Elisha ben Avuya talking about the blank paper versus the erased paper seems to be instructive, that once people have kind of become accustomed to something, it's much harder to get out of their hergel. But sometimes even we say it's a lost cause, that people cannot change. Here we have great evidence that we have a man who is established and old and decides to turn his life completely around. We have the Isur of Avodah Zarah this week, and there's an interesting comment from the Akedas Yitzchak saying that Avodah Zarah is not just bowing down to idols or worshiping some inanimate object or whatnot, but he says that any time where we take away our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and put it on other things, so assuming that medicine can help us, gathering money or accumulating property, or anything else like that, when we start relying on something else, that becomes a form of Avodah Zarah, says the Akedas Yitzchak. I heard a story about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, who asked Rav Huttner a question of what is Avodah Zarah, and he said, the response was, if there's anything on planet Earth that you feel like you cannot live without, that would be Avodah Zarah. Back to a Ramban famous question, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzi Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I am your God that took you out of Mitzrayim. Why would it not say, Asher Bar'u Shamayim Va'aretz? So the Ramban answers, it's very simple. One is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world ex nihilo, and the other one is about his hashgacha, his continued involvement in the world and his ability to bring something into reality. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created nature, that's one thing, but when he uncreated it and when he was able to tie knots and untie knots and do whatever he wanted, that really showed the greatest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and gives us even greater chizik for Amunah. So why do we have the Aseres HaDibros anyway, and why are they given in a way that seems in a certain way different from the rest of the Torah, which was kind of given in due course as the way it was at our Har Sinai, and we have this great presentation of the Aseres HaDibros. So the Abar Ben El gives five extraordinary answers. First one is from the Ibn Ezra, and he says that there were people who might not believe in Nevuah, so this would prove Nevuah. Second, the next one is from, I'm trying to remember, I don't remember offhand, but this is basically trying to say that there could be, since they heard it themselves, they were Edim, and they could contradict Nevi'ei Sheker. So that is a second possibility. The next one is to dispel the possibility that you could get the Torah on your own without having a Navi. The next one is that this was planting the seed, so anybody in Klal Yisrael could receive Nevuah in the future. And finally, the last answer from the Abar Ben El is that hearing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself was something that would be Mashrish extreme Yira Shamayim in the heart of all of Klal Yisrael. Now, a very important Midos point from Rabbeinu Bechaya. So now he says, "Ve'atata chazeh mikol ha'am anshei chayu yirei Elokim anshei emes soni vatza v'santa aleihem sari alafim sari meos sari chamishim v'sari asaros." He says, "How important is it to have good midos? Because all the tzaddikim and the neviim and the Torah, they like Noach, Avram Avinu, Yaakov, etc. When they are praised, they're not praised for their wisdom." Rather, they're praised for their midos. By Noach, it's Ish Tzadik Tomim. By Avram, Veheye Tomim. By Yaakov, Ish Tam. By Moshe, On of Ma'od. And all of us to show that the purpose of Chochmah is for Yosher HaMidos, for us to learn the way to interact and engage. Next up, we have another powerful Rabbeinu Bechaya. He says, look, you can see Yisro brought korbanos to Hashem, and Aaron and all of the Zikni Yisrael sat down and ate with Yisro in front of Hashem. So, and what does this mean? It was in front of the Mishkan, and this is the Omud Ha'anan, this is the cloud and the fire that they were there at the Mishkan. So this Suda was a kavod of Yisro, because he did Gerus with Mila and Tevila, like the din of a real ger that has decided to now accept a derech tachas kanfei ashrina. And the purpose of this suda for Aaron and the Zekenim and all of these, just like the Sudas HaMatamim for Yitzchak Avinu, they all had one kavana. This was so the simcha would come into the nefesh of the person eating, and they would be able to attain Ruach HaKodesh. So that's the idea, is that a lot of these sudas, when we get into a sudas mitzvah, it's supposed to be mevasem us a little bit, so we could get to a greater insight, a greater connection, because this is the thesis. The kochos hanefesh are connected to the kochos haguf. And when the kochos haguf are strengthened, then the kochos hanefesh may be able to as well and be able to focus with greater kavana. So this is the same idea why David HaMelech, for example, we see that the musical component involved. Why are you have a menagein here, right? So we can learn a lot from this idea that that the kochos haguf can really be a springboard for the kochos hanefesh. So this is obviously instructive for sudas mitzvah, for a Shabbos suda, probably is also instructive for the mitzvah of gomel nafsho ish chased, the idea that a person should try to take care of their body to the extent that it is their platform to be able to serve Hashem as opposed to completely run it into the ground. And I personally have found in my experience that when I feel balanced and good physically, it will absolutely increase my Avodas Hashem as well as my Avodas Amidos. So this is something that I wanted to get chizik for, because anytime you enjoy something, you have to think twice, whether or not this has Hanas Atzmo or Derech Mitzvah. But this is now something which is helpful for us to be able to use as a key to kind of unlock the way that we're interacting, the interplay between Ruchnius and Gashmius. So now on to our Kasha. So in the Aseres HaDibros, when we talk about the Mitzvah of Shabbos in Perek Chof Pasuk Ches, it says, Zachoras Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesho, and Rashi there says, She'im Nizdamin L'cha Chefetz Yofa, if you find yourself an item, which is it's beautiful, to hey mazmino the Shabbos, put it aside for Shabbos. It's a little bit strange, because if we learn the Gemara in Beit Tes Zion Amud Aleph, there are two different shitas between Hillel and so it's Shammai Azakein and Shammai versus Beis Hillel, whether or not when you see something at the beginning of the week that's really beautiful, whether you should use it that day, or alternatively, which is the idea of Beis Hillel, where he says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, or alternatively, you should put it aside and save it for Shabbos. And the way that Gemara is understood generally is, look, they both had different midos that they were emphasizing. Hillel was emphasizing the midah of Bitachon, saying, I am confident and I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me what I need later in the week. And on the other hand, Shammai said, no, Kavod Shabbos is more important, notwithstanding my bitachon. Here this is, I don't want to let this go on the side. I'm going to get to, I'm going to get to the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos right away. So the problem is that if you see a chefetz early in the week, any day that's not Erev Shabbos, Rashi here is saying that you should put it away, and it sounds like he's paskening like Shammai. So the question for the week is, how do we reconcile that? It seems like we're holding like Shammai. Have a wonderful Shabbos.